right, tag team champions lose another match. I thought the Owens and Zayn problem was no longer a problem. Paul Heyman, who is a SmackDown member of the roster with a visitor's pass today, a little handshake deal to Imperium, Judgment Day, getting a pinfall victory over the tag champs. And, yeah, next week we have a six-man tag featuring Imperium versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and a mystery partner. By the way, earlier we had a battle royal to determine who was going to face Gunther at Night of Champions for the Intercontinental Championship. Gee, I kind of narrowed it down to two men, Saudi Arabia, hometown hero, either Mansoor or Mustafa Ali. Towards the end of the match, Matt Riddle, for some reason, you know, attacked by Imperium, forcing him to get eliminated. Gee, I wonder who the mystery partner is going to be next week. You know, man, rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Don't get me wrong. WWE is doing crazy revenue. But I tell you, a lot of these shows were tickets bought months in advance. WWE's not stupid. SummerSlam's already sold almost 50,000 tickets. You know, and listen, I know people are like, well, it's not as much as All In. Well, you know what? Don't play that game. It's unfair for both sides. Because if you want to start splitting hairs, Double or Nothing is in 2 weeks, and Double or Nothing has sold half the tickets of what it sold a year ago. They haven't even sold 10,000 tickets. House Rules over the weekend only drew about 2,000-3,000 seats. That's not bad. And I'm not saying that's a negative, but people playing that game, stay away from it. Stay away from it. But I will tell you this, you pay attention the last couple of weeks. The crowd reaction outside of Puerto Rico and Paris and some house shows, very mild. Tonight also, crowd was very mild. A lot of piped in noise again. I think people are starting to get a little bit frustrated. Now, the good thing about it is in 2 weeks, we got Night of Champions. In 2 weeks, Seth Rollins, the best kept secret, is going to become world heavyweight champion. He will be a fighting champion, and it will be interesting to see the opponents that they put in his path. The only problem that I see about Seth Rollins becoming world heavyweight champion is the predictability of it. I want him to win it. That's not the predictability that I'm talking about. Once he wins it, you know, do you feel anybody on the Raw roster anytime soon is going to dethrone him? So unless you just want to see good quality wrestling and a title change is not really necessary for you, then yeah, everything will be cool. But at the end of the day, if he faces Finn, if he faces Bronson Reed, if he faces it, you know, I think the outcomes as far as the championship is pretty predictable. And, you know, it worked for Roman Reigns for a couple of years. You start doing that too often, I'm telling you, it's going to backfire. Yeah, even if you bring back Drew McIntyre as a heel, does anybody feel that Drew McIntyre is going to dethrone Seth Rollins almost immediately? I mean, understand, with Roman Reigns, they're pushing him like Brock Lesnar now. You know, if you pay close attention, that's why they're milking this interview segment with Seth Rollins and Corey Graves for 2 weeks in a row. They're trying to build up Seth Rollins' disdain. What did he say tonight indirectly? That people, the problem lately is people who get to the top, they're more about protecting themselves than in bettering the business. Now, to be honest with you, if you want to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's, that's not actually true, because look at the amount of revenue WWE is bringing in. Look at the amount of ticket sales WWE is bringing in. Look at the ratings, especially on the SmackDown side. You know, it's just that this is the only way to really eliminate what people have cutely portrayed it as, the pity title. if Seth Rollins defends this championship often with honor, with respect, you know, almost like what Gunther does with the Intercontinental Championship, it will not be perceived as a secondary title, a pity title. So they are strategically getting the fans annoyed at Roman Reigns, doing similar what they did with Brock Lesnar a couple of years ago. I don't know how long that's going to last, because this still fucking putting Owens and Zayn with the bloodline. Night of Champions. Need I say more? Now, yeah, I personally think after Night of Champions, we truly will get the final split as far as Owens and Zayn away from the bloodline. But until then, you know, we're going to have to deal with this for a few more weeks. So I want to welcome everyone to Monday night. This is your Raw post show and a few other news tidbits as well. I am Don Tony. As always, I want to thank you for joining me. Couple of things. I want to thank everybody for all the feedback this weekend about some changes that are going to be coming to the channel soon. You know, you could check out the episodes just to get an idea as far as what's going on. I haven't made any decisions yet. I'm weighing out a whole bunch of options as far as how we proceed forward. But, you know, we will definitely have some clear direction within the next, I would say, 2 weeks. So I'll let everybody know. By the way, quick plug for those that are interested. Next Tuesday night, Kevin Castle will be joining me once again. We will be doing a preview and predictions for Night of Champions. It will be recorded live on Patreon next Tuesday, because that's where the Tuesday shows hail from. But it'll be online for everyone around midnight next week at DonTony.com. So if you head on over to DonTony.com next Tuesday around midnight, your predictions will be up there. I am possibly going to do a show next Friday night live. And we may do predictions for not only NXT Battleground, but AEW Double or Nothing. I'm not sure yet. We're still about 12 days away, so we have some time to figure it out. I'll make it official by early next week or this weekend if we do that. We'll see what happens. But also, if you did not check out Saturday's episode, Paul Heyman wheeling and dealing. Yeah, Imperium tonight. But, you know, what we talked about with Brock Lesnar, the lack of response by Brock Lesnar, I think this all, you know, develops into a big storyline twist in the very near future. By the way, Cody Rhodes' promo tonight was interesting. When did Brock Lesnar in an interview segment call Cody Rhodes' win at Backlash cheap? If I remember last week, it was pretty much, look at my face. Look at my face. At Night of Champions, I want to fight. I don't remember Brock Lesnar calling the victory cheap. But it sounded right. It sounded good by Cody tonight. By the way, how did you all like the story about the scorpion and the frog that Cody Rhodes told everyone? For those that were asking me, yeah, that is really a legit kid story. And for anybody that is curious, if you allow me about 60 seconds, I will tell you pretty much. Let's see how much Cody Rhodes nailed it. We had a scorpion and a frog. Once upon a time, a lush green forest lived a kind-hearted frog. We'll name the frog Cody. The frog was loved by all the animals, we'll call them WWE superstars, in the forest for his friendly nature and helpfulness. One day, while the frog was sitting by the river, could you imagine a frog? Wow. He heard a voice calling for him. Excuse me, Mr. Frog, can you help me cross the river? It was a scorpion named Brock that had approached the frog. The frog was a bit hesitant at first, but he could see that the scorpion was in dire need of help. I am happy to help you, said Cody the frog, but aren't you afraid that I might carry you across the river and leave you in the middle of it? And the scorpion said, why would I think that? If I stung you in the middle of the river, we would both drown. The frog found the scorpion's logic to make sense, so he decided to help him. The frog then asked the scorpion to climb on his back, broke back, and hold on tight, As they crossed the river, the scorpion Brock suddenly stung the frog on the back. Now, tell me this doesn't sound like Trump with the snake. You know, doesn't it sound exactly, but we obviously you can't use that story because you Google it, people will be like, probably not the one to go. Anyway, the bottom line is, the frog is like, why'd you do that? You told me you wouldn't do it. And the scorpion basically said, I can't help it. It's my fucking nature, you dumb fuck. So he stings the frog anyway. The moral of the story is that some creatures cannot be trusted, even if they seem harmless. The scorpion may not have wanted to fuck up Cody, but it's his nature to do so. Now, if you want to add a little twist to the story that maybe there was a walrus named Paul in the background that kind of like paid off the scorpion to fuck up the frog.
Kermit the Frog. Whoa!
Cody Rhodes giving his fucking nursery rhymes. Greensboro, the home of the first Starrcade. Tonight we're getting nursery rhymes about scorpions and frogs. How's about Brock at Night of Champions? I'm going to fuck you up. You used to be called the next big thing. What happens when they now just say next? You're in my way, Brock. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm still on the path. We won't mention Dusty's name, and we won't mention Roman's name all that much, but that is still Final Destination. That's the story. That's the story, plain and simple. So a couple other things. Now, since we're on Raw, we might as well just stay on topic for the show. And then we got some news. Some very, very sad news. Prepare. Tributes are going to be done next week. Someone, unfortunately, I mean, I don't mean to sound morbid. Somebody's going to pass away. Somebody that we talked about like 2 weeks ago. And yeah, we'll talk about it in a little bit. Superstar Billy Graham. I'll explain why in a little bit. But anyway, we had a couple of things go down tonight that directly affect Night of Champions, and I want to share them with you right now. Superstar Billy Graham did not pass away yet. Rewind 15 seconds and listen to what I said again. Now I lost my train of thought. Anyway, tonight we had some very important implications go down for Night of Champions. One of them, on this show, we were contradicting everybody online. My friends, what have you read online and heard people say online for the last month? Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch, SummerSlam. Here, we've been saying it all along, Trish Stratus is getting the Lita money. Last year, it was Lita versus Becky Lynch in Saudi Arabia. Trish Stratus was getting the sweet Saudi money. Tonight, the sweet Saudi sausage was cooked, and Becky Lynch issues the challenge. Night of Champions, Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. We all here expected that to go down. It made the most sense. You know, Lita got a tremendous payday last year in Saudi Arabia. That was the plan all along. And let's be honest, did anybody real? And we've had this discussion before, so I know that part of this may sound old, but now since we know clear cut that that match is happening at Night of Champions, I ask you this question again. SummerSlam is still a couple of months away. Did anybody in their right mind think that they were going to somehow milk Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus for months without them having a match against each other? You know, I mean, I'm not knocking Trish. She looks fabulous. I mean, we've seen her on social media for the last bunch of years. It's not like she's been hiding under a rock. We know how beautiful she looks. She could still go. She's obviously not the wrestler she was 15 years ago, but she could still go. The problem is that, you know, she's not going to start wrestling the regular Raw roster. And this day and age, you got to be really careful when you start utilizing people on the current roster and people from yesteryear. Because if you really look closely, when Lita and Becky won those tag team championships. You know, I mean, do you blame the fans? I don't blame the fans. Everybody was glued watching Lita, watching carefully what Lita could do. And she kind of disappointed. I don't think it was her fault. I think WWE, you know, kind of, you know, put their foot in their mouth. WrestleMania, you had Bayley and Dakota Kai and Io Sky plus the other three women. So if somebody had a brain fart or if Lita, you know, seemed like it wasn't clicking, you can easily just put someone else in the ring, have a distraction, and there's where it goes. So WrestleMania was not all that bad. And when they were on point, the crowd responded, "You still got it." But they don't have it on a consistent basis anymore. It's just the way it is. Look at John Cena. We're not talking about the John Cena interview tonight. We'll talk about it over the weekend. But John Cena did an interview with Busted Open today. I've seen part of it already, and it is good. It is really good. Pay attention to what he said about Austin Theory and how much time he spent with Austin Theory. But John Cena says something that I honestly think is bigger news than Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., what he said about Randy. Because as we said yesterday on the sit-down, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., you know, he was a little vague because he doesn't want to be the bearer of gigantic news like that, let alone for a podcast. Cowboy Bob Orton's like, "I think the doctors told Randy not to return to the ring." That doesn't mean that Randy's not returning to the ring, and that doesn't mean that Randy's retired, but people took it and they blew it up. And Cowboy Bob Orton with the cute little word, "think." I think they did. Of course Bob Orton knows the truth. He talks to his son every day. You think his son's hiding it from him? It ain't no like reality show. "Why didn't you tell me that the doctors told you?" So to me, John Cena's news is even bigger. John Cena said on the show he can't do it anymore. His body cannot do it. So he doesn't want to disrespect the fans and disrespect pro wrestling. And you saw the match that he had against Austin Theory. People thought it was okay. But what you see is what you get now with John Cena. He cannot do. And I know what some people are probably saying right now. The fuck did he used to do that? He can't. You know, he upped his game in the latter years that he, and that's why the fans, turned on him in a positive way. You know, and by the way, it is the anniversary. By the way, for the, you know, the history show that we're plugging this week, this week's history show is a must. But since we just mentioned it, where's the photo? I think I got the photo. Yeah, here it is. This is, this week is the anniversary that Kevin Owens made his Raw debut, stepped on the United States Championship, you know, pissed off the wrestling world. And yeah, this week, yeah, that's another thing from this week. This week in history, Andy Kaufman unfortunately passed away. This week in history, we had the magic of Papa Shango and the Ultimate Warrior. Look at that pin in the top right-hand corner. Everybody talks about the way Rhea Ripley pins women in a very sexy way. You know, look at what Crash Holly did to Bobcat 23 years ago. Today, I believe. You know, so, yeah, wrestling matters here, TNA, and what else we got this week? Oh, yeah, Kurt Angle got his head shaved. Bret Hart won the United States Championship. And who is that in the top right-hand corner? That's not Bam Bam. That looks like Jericho. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe is that Public Enemy? Anyway, end of Ein Erich's tragedy. It keeps going on and on and on. The Click. See the Click over there? Wrestle War. A lot of good shit this week in history. A lot of good shit. Check out the Mexican wrestlers as well. That was a very big event back in the day. Oh, yes. Most importantly, the era of Bruno began this week in history as well. So, yeah, we got the plug out of the way early. So this week, you definitely want to check it out. A lot of great audio mixed in with that. A lot of great shit this week in history. But John Cena, you know, revealing he can't do it anymore. You know, not anywhere remotely what he used to do. So that's something you should pay attention to because, you know, the difference is, and this is why I think John Cena's news is bigger than Randy Orton's, because Randy Orton has a medical condition that he is fighting to, you know, to get over. We talked about Paige yesterday. We talked about Christian yesterday. We talked about Edge yesterday. We talked about Daniel Bryan yesterday. you know, now, you know, Brian Danielson. And they all, you know, had an injury and surgery and issues that they battled and battled and battled, not only physically, but emotionally as well. And they came back. John Cena has no surgery or medical condition that if he rehabs and, you know, no, this is his body just can't do it like he used to. And you look at him, he's a physical specimen. And you're like, how can he not do it? But it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. John Cena does not have, can't use Robert Roode, Eric, because Robert Roode is not wrestling right now. The people we mentioned yesterday, the people who came back, Robert Roode had fusion surgery. He has injuries. John Cena has no impending surgeries, you know, wear and tear. To me, that's the worst, the wear and tear. Because the wear and tear, if your body's that fucked up that you feel you can't go, you know, how do you deal with that? I mean, rest? I think John Cena's probably had a decent amount of rest. So, look, hopefully this isn't, you know, the tail end of John Cena, you know, period. You know, I think he could, we still will get some matches from him. But it's going to be a nostalgia act when you look at it going forward. So Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch will be taking place at Saudi Arabia, as we all expected. Something else happened today on Raw. It was in passing. You got to remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about Saudi Arabia. We're talking about a $50 million event. Again, it's not fair to compare it to WWE to AEW. But if you really want to look at math, look at it like this. AEW, with All In, generated about $8 million in ticket sales. $8 million. That's beautiful. Now imagine WWE saying, or Saudi Arabia saying, now WWE matches that and gets it six times more. Six All Ins combined. Think about how much money we're talking here. Six all-ins. So why am I saying this? Ronda Rousey. Saudi Arabia, larger-than-life athletes. They are big on MMA. They are big on nostalgia. They are big in the pomp and circumstance. Saudi loves their Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, you know, is one of the more requested individuals Saudi Arabia wants on their card. Do not be surprised if you have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler winning the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships in Saudi Arabia for Night of Champions. Now, I know what some of you are going to say to me early on, but wait, Liv Morgan is injured. My friends, Liv Morgan suffered an injury on Friday when they defended the tag titles against Damage Control. Could have even happened this weekend at a house show. But the bottom line is that Liv Morgan is injured. Now, the injury is not supposedly serious. And I hate using words that end in L-Y, but we do not know the nature of the injury as of yet. But what I was told tonight is that it's not serious enough where they have to be stripped of the championships. So Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green did not get their title shot tonight. But Raquel Rodriguez fought Chelsea Green one-on-one and beat her tonight. After the match is over, you had Raquel Rodriguez up on the rampway, walking to the back, and she got laid out from Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Ronda taunting Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler finishing her off. I know that could be interpreted many different ways. But when you think about Saudi Arabia, when you think about $50 million, WWE will go outside the box to please Saudi Arabia. Plus, even though Endeavor and WWE are merging, even though we're going to have a new corporation by the end of the year, that doesn't mean that WWE doesn't want to renegotiate a new deal with Saudi Arabia in the future. They are going to make sure that the people in Saudi Arabia, the ones that work these deals out, the Crown Prince and everyone else, are going to be overwhelmed with what they get, their money's worth. Ronda Rousey in Saudi Arabia is a big fucking deal. You won't hear that on a lot of shows because a lot of shows despise Ronda Rousey. So they're not going to put her on a pedestal. But Saudi Arabia absolutely is huge on Ronda Rousey. So do not be surprised when Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey get the tag team title shot in Saudi Arabia. And they even teased a little seed tonight, little seed planted. I mean, you hear me, for decades we've talked about planting seeds. And you got to pay close attention when they're making fun of the fact that Liv Morgan is injured. Think about the history between Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. Liv Morgan, I think, may be back in time for Night of Champions. Listen, unless she has a broken leg or something where she can't stand, she could stand in the corner during the match. Think about WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey still had an arm injury at WrestleMania. She was able to compete. If you look back and you watch, she didn't do that much, but she was still able to compete. Do not be surprised if those tag team championships change hands in Saudi Arabia because of Ronda Rousey, because of Saudi Arabia, and under the circumstances, yeah, be prepared. Be very prepared because that is a very, very big possibility. So, what else do we got tonight? Oh, okay. Hey, again, listen, I'm with everybody that Natalia doesn't seem a threat to Rhea Ripley's title in May of 2023. Natalia can still go, very, very well respected, helps the women tremendously, but Natalia is there to help improve stars of today, of tomorrow. There is no, I don't even care if every event for the next couple of months were happening in Canada. There is no current planet or stars that will align where Natalia is going to beat Rhea Ripley for the championship. A lot of people thought Zelina Vega should have won in Puerto Rico. As we get further away from it, you start understanding you do not do anything to fuck up Rhea Ripley's momentum. Zelina Vega had a magical night that people still talk about, and that'll never go away. That will be something cherished forever. The women's championship was not needed that night. Natalia is not becoming... Why am I saying this? Because of Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali getting the Intercontinental Championship title shot in Saudi Arabia. And I'm sorry who I upset. I am a fan of Mustafa Ali. You tune into these shows on a weekly basis. You always hear me on the side of Mustafa Ali. But let's be honest. Oh, he's won the last three matches he's had on Raw. Yeah, what the fuck does that mean? There was a time when Dana Brooke won a whole bunch of matches consecutively. You could feel if somebody's truly getting a push. And like I said, when we had LGBTQ Awareness Month, that Mercedes Martinez and, oh, what was his name? Shit. What was his name that was in NXT? Jake Atlas. They main evented NXT. And I said it. I'm sorry. Nobody got offended, but they understood it. I said, you know, I wonder if they would have main evented that match on NXT if it wasn't LGBTQ Awareness Month. And I said, I want to see them pushed after the month is over. When the month was over, where did the push go? Yeah, I know Mercedes Martinez had an injury, but where did Jake Atlas's push go? Went right out the door. So my point is I don't want to see people pushed simply because they have an event coming up in their home country or their hometown or home this. I want to feel like Mustafa Ali is being pushed because he's a great fucking talent, a great fucking athlete. WWE's finally starting to see and acknowledge that, hey, this guy could represent, you know, the division. Now, yeah, nobody right now is probably going to beat Gunther. But I'm sorry. if WWE was not going to Saudi Arabia in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, I don't think Mustafa Ali would have gotten the last three wins. Because if you look at WWE's track record with Mustafa Ali the last year, you know, it's kind of hideous. So I say this because Natalya to Rhea is the same thing as Mustafa Ali to Gunther. Neither one are a threat to the championship. I have no problem with Mustafa Ali taking on Gunther in Saudi Arabia. It is going to be an excellent match, no doubt about it. But this is Zelina Vega taking on Rhea Ripley all over again. Ali is getting the high-profile match, but if you pay attention to social media, no one will say it like that because you know how it works in these damn, you know, these here parts. You see how it works on these here parts? You can't dare just call it out and saying that Mustafa Ali is only getting a match because they're going to Saudi Arabia because that sounds kind of fucked up. Nah, they could say it about Natty. They could say it about someone else, but can't say that about Ali. The match is going to be great, but if they were going to Nashville, Tennessee, or New York, New York, or Phoenix, Arizona, you think Ali would have been the one to be taking on Gunther? I'd be kind of surprised, to be honest with you. So Mustafa Ali is getting that match at Night of Champions. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But if you're into gambling, bet everything that you own that Gunther will retain. Gunther will retain. So, all right. What else did we get tonight regarding Night of Champions? I think that is it as far as Night of Champions and their updates. I'm amazed. I got to be honest with you guys. I am amazed at how many places out there who have yet to report why Sami Zayn is going to Saudi Arabia. After everything that has transpired the last couple of years, I actually saw a couple of legitimate news sites today have the audacity to paint it like Saudi Arabia would not allow Sami Zayn to go the last couple of years. That ain't fucking true. Sami Zayn absolutely refused to go to state. It wasn't that, hey, I want to go. No, you can't go. But I want to go. No, he did not want to go, and Saudi Arabia said, no, Sami. Sami, not allowed. That's bullshit. Of course, he wasn't welcome. Sami Zayn was like, I ain't fucking going to Saudi Arabia under these conditions. So check out Saturday's show that I did because I got into straight up legit news that just broke in the last 7 days. You know, it's a very important news story about Syria joining the Arab League once again. And the interesting thing about it, like I said on Saturday, is that if Sami is upset at anybody right now, he might be more upset at the United States, believe it or not, because the United States was totally against Syria joining the Arab League again. It's a pretty fascinating story if you go check it out. So, yes, Sami Zayn will be going back to Saudi Arabia. Got a couple other stories we got to clear up in a little bit, but let's fill in the blanks from Raw tonight because Raw was a decent show. It had its moments that were kind of bland. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn opening up the show tonight, and they're talking about their upcoming title defense at Night of Champions, talking about Roman Reigns, that nothing is ever enough for Roman. Greedy Roman, 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 Roman. Kevin Owens is tired of talking about the bloodline. Sami Zayn talking about how Roman cheated his way to the top. He's gone unchecked for far too long. He should have won the championship at Elimination Chamber. And he even called Roman Reigns a psycho. I wrote down the word psycho. And Sami says that Roman will never get those tag titles, even though it's never enough for Roman. Judgment Day's music interrupts. So now you know where we're going tonight with the main event. Judgment Day interrupts. Kevin Owens, before they could say a word, Kevin Owens is on a mic and he's like, good, good, good. I'm sick and tired of the bloodline. What do you got to say? I want to hear Dominic talk. So, you know, they end up having a little bit of a back and forth. Damian Priest would love to fight Kevin Owens, Finn Balor as well. Dominic gets on the mic and we get rinse and repeat. A lot of rinse and repeat tonight. Kevin Owens is about to slug Dominic. Rhea Ripley goes at Kevin Owens' face. You know that no man is going to assault Rhea Ripley anytime soon, despite everyone out there that still thinks that WWE's changed their stance on intergender matches. So they end up having a brawl. Zayn and Owens chase the Judgment Day away. Now we have the main event tonight. It's a non-title match, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Dominic Mysterio did not wrestle in this match. Why? Because he faced and defeated Xavier Woods for a second week in a row. And the finish was almost identical. Dominic is laid out in the ring. Xavier Woods climbs the ropes, rinse and repeat. He walks to the side of the ring, jumps off the top rope, goes for the elbow. No water in the pool because Rhea Ripley pulls Dominic out. The only difference from tonight was after Rhea pulled Dominic outside the ring, Xavier dives onto Dominic, but then Rhea Ripley distracts Xavier Woods. Dominic rolls back in the ring. Xavier Woods is paying attention to Rhea Ripley. The referee is not looking. Rhea cheap shots Xavier Woods. Dominic Mysterio gets the win. Rinse and repeat once again. I think they did the match again just so Dominic could taunt the fans. Dom rocks. It is kind of funny. And look, he's still getting the nuclear heat. But I think, listen, I'm a fan of Vince Russo's, but Vince Russo does get a lot of shit wrong in 2023. I respectfully say that. I have supported him since his Long Island magazine days. But he was probably a few weeks early about what he said about the fans and the perceived heat of Dominic Mysterio. If you notice tonight, you notice something changing about the fans and Dominic Mysterio. It's now becoming part of the act. I know this might sound a little bit vague, but I think people understand what I mean by that. You know, Chris Van Vliet brought up a point this week that is true. Cody Rhodes has been using that entrance music for like 7 years. And when he was in Ring of Honor, when he did the original All In, when he did, even in the beginning in AEW, when he did the indies, and his song would come out, when they would do the part, whoa, you know, nobody went along with it. Fans just would listen to the song and that's it. It took 7 years for it to catch on in AEW and then WWE. You know, AEW is where it first caught on, where, you know, he would go, whoa. It's now happening with Dominic in a way. Listen, Dominic is getting legit heel heat. The fans, I think the fans appreciate Dominic, the chicken shit, mommy, you know, I love you and all this other stuff. But now the minute he goes to say something, it's like the cue for the fans to just get loud. And it's now turning into a part of the act. So before he could say anything, the fans, and listen, I think WWE is also piping in some noise. That's not a shot on Dominic Mysterio. Please do not misconstrue what I'm saying. It's almost too perfect that as soon as Dominic says one word, you hear the decibel level like double. And if you're booing him, you're like, I can't picture the majority of the fans in their brain all subconsciously saying, okay, now when I boo, I got to do it three times louder than I did the first time. So it's, you could see that WWE is now turning this into kind of part of the act. I don't think it's necessary. Dominic Mysterio is getting enough nuclear heat from the fans that he doesn't need that added, you know, extra to it. It seems like WWE is adding an extra ingredient that is not necessary with Dominic. Dominic is killing it right now. No need to change that, in my honest opinion. So, Shinsuke Nakamura defeating The Miz It was a great match. But The Miz has lost quite a bit in the last year. So Shinsuke coming off the win from Karrion Kross, which was a great match. Big video packages hyping him up to Raw. Shinsuke is good to get. You know, a lot of play on Raw. There was no chance of him losing to The Miz tonight. And now what's starting to happen is you're going to start subtly seeing the skull-crushing finale just giving you two counts. Right now, there's a little bit of, you know, like disruption, a rope break or something like that. But, and we joked about it a couple of weeks ago, is that when wrestlers start getting older and they start losing, for some reason, their finisher loses its luster. Before you know it, you're going to see a lot of people kicking out of skull-crushing finales. And you'll have Miz with this shocked, beyond disbelief reaction, and that's where it's going. But Nakamura gets the win tonight. It was a very good match. Look, even if you don't like Miz, you have to admit, the guy actually could go, and he puts on a good match against his opponents. We did get a Von Wagner sighting tonight. Von Wagner was in the Battle Royal. Imperium came out for the Battle Royal. It was a funny moment when they were walking in the back. Akira Tozawa sees them and turns around and walks the other way. He don't want nothing of it. I was not a fan of the Battle Royal for the first half of it. You know, let me show you the participants, by the way, for those that are interested. Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, Maximum Male Models, the Viking Raiders, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Elias, Akira Tozawa, Zion Quinn, Madcap Moss, JD McDonough, Dolph Ziggler, Johnny Gargano, Dexter Lumis, Von Wagner, Mustafa Ali, Apollo Crews, Bronson Reed, Matt Riddle, Ricochet, Alpha Academy, and Baron Corbin. Some of the wrestlers like Ricochet, Ali, Apollo Riddle, Reed, Bronson Reed, and others got individual introductions, but within the first 2 minutes, this is an opportunity to take on Gunther. Tozawa, eliminated. Corbin, eliminated. Dexter Lumis, eliminated. Maximum Male Models, eliminated. And there was even a goofy moment, and this is a problem, man. We've noticed it. Much to some of your surprise, for anybody that goes back with me with the shows for a couple of years, what I'm about to say is true. For about a year, I said Dexter Lumis was my favorite wrestler in NXT. And I was very, very upset with the way how they were using him. He lost almost every single time. Dexter Lumis is no longer that mystified character that the fans get into on Raw. We had a segment tonight during this Battle Royal where Mounsoir got knocked off the ring. And Massey was there. Massey caught him. So Massey caught him and was going to put him back in the ring, and he puts him on the top apron. He gets knocked into him again, and Massey looks at Dexter Lumis, who is just standing outside the ring, you know, with the stoic look on his face, and Massey gets scared shit. Now, you're talking about a 300-pound, you know, yeah, retribution sucked, but Massey is a pretty, you know, powerful physical specimen. He looks at Dexter Lumis and goes, ah! And he drops Mounsoir and he runs away like a little bitch. And no reaction from the fans at all. None. The cameras, the announcers, the spotlight was all focused on Maximum Male Models and Dexter Lumis. There was no reaction. And no reaction is the worst. You could get a heel reaction. You could get a, you know, getting no reaction, indifference is the worst thing that you could have in wrestling. The worst thing. Because if you get enough of a reaction, even if you're not that good in the ring, you know, fans want to see you get your ass kicked, that's fine. But when you get no reaction whatsoever, that is a problem. And like I said, I'm happy. I'm happy that Indy Hartwell is on the main roster. The injury right now might have been the best thing to happen to her, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but look at Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae tonight, we had a backstage segment where Zoe Stark is, for some reason, picking on Nikki Cross. Hey, freak, are you listening? Hey, what's wrong with you? And Candice LeRae shows up. Don't talk to her like that. You know, why don't you treat people with respect? Zoe Stark is like, hey, how's about next week? I teach a little respect into you. So next week we're getting the match. Gee, I wonder what the outcome is going to be. So you bring Indy Hartwell to the main roster, and I'm sorry, guys. I love NXT. I loved all the index stuff. I loved the way when everybody was crapping on the way, with the exception of the shots in Johnny Gargano's house when they were doing something weird with the cameras and I was getting vertigo. Remember those segments that they were spinning the cameras and I was like, gee, I'm going to fucking get vertigo from this shit. That was not good. But everything else, I enjoyed it. Now you're bringing it to the main roster and it's falling fucking flat. Say that fast 10 times. How do you recover from that? What happened to sanity? And they were, remember when Nikki Cross was coloring in the back and putting dates and all this other stuff? Where did that go? That went absolutely nowhere. And look it up. That's like 6-7 months ago. As in, it's not like a week ago. This is like 6 months ago. It went absolutely nowhere. This is going to be a problem. So anyway, JD McDonagh got eliminated very, very early in the match by Dolph Ziggler, and then they had a big brawl outside the ring. JD McDonagh later on was interviewed by Kathy Kelly in the back, and JD McDonagh, you know, basically saying, look, you know, I came to Raw to make a statement. Who better to make a statement against to Dolph Ziggler? Runs down Dolph Ziggler's resume, which is impressive. And then you get, you know, the line, never bet against an ace. So that's going to be his catchphrase, never bet against an ace. But, you know, WWE is paying attention to social media. They are paying attention when people start talking about ideas or if something catches on. One of the things that a lot of people have talked about is JD McDonagh in Judgment Day. I like the idea. How you get to that point, I don't know. But when JD McDonagh was getting interviewed in the back, I only took two screenshots from tonight's Raw. But one of the screenshots that I took was this. That was right after JD McDonagh finished his interview with Kathy Kelly. If for those on video, if you look at the top right part of the screen at the 1 o'clock hour, and I will zoom in for anybody. Yeah, there's Finn Balor. Finn Balor scouting JD McDonagh. So, hey, where's this going to lead to? Hey, remember, Finn Balor, the teacher. JD McDonagh, the student. So there is a little bit of history. Look, Friday on SmackDown, Grayson Waller is going to have AJ Styles on there. A lot of people probably don't even know, but AJ Styles and Grayson Waller went at it in NXT for a cup of coffee when AJ Styles showed up in NXT last year. Or it was late 2020. Yeah, I think it was late. It was either late 2021 or January 2022. And they got into it a little bit. So there is a little bit of history there. And I love it. I love that they're continuing that. So we'll see where it goes with JD McDonagh. But he got eliminated pretty early into this. No harm done, to be honest with you. We did get an impressive but corny segment where Bronson Reed tossed over Ivar of the Viking Raiders and Otis at the same time. Very impressive. But the problem with the spot was Otis and Ivar are brawling on the side of the ring, right by the ropes. And if you look at Ivar closely, like he's looking, like trying to like catch Bronson Reed in his path to know when to push off and get tossed over the top rope. And camera work, you know, I don't know if you could blame the camera work, but I was focused on Ivar and I was like, nah, that's not acceptable in my opinion, to be honest with you. But anyway, the Battle Royal came down to Bronson Reed, Ricochet, Mustafa Ali, Johnny Gargano, Matt Riddle, and Riddick Moss. Riddick Moss, impressive in this match, but Matt Riddle eliminates him. Matt Riddle eliminates Johnny Gargano, which they had a nice little back and forth for a little bit. But random, out of nowhere, here comes Imperium. Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser, for some reason, and Gunther was at ringside. Gunther cut a promo before the match even started. Respect. You know, he talks about, and by the way, once again, we caught on this a few weeks ago, and looks like it's here to stay with WWE. Modern era. That is something that they are going to frequently use. They used it with Bianca Belair. They're using it with Gunther. And they're going to use it with others when necessary, wherever they can fit it. Modern era. You know, when does the modern era begin? You know, that's to the eye of the beholder. But Gunther talking about the longest reign in the modern era. So they did that tonight. But Gunther talking about respect. And here is Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser right in front of Gunther getting involved in a battle royal, causing Matt Riddle to get eliminated. So again, seed planted, mystery partner, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, anybody but Matt Riddle next week would make no sense if you think about it. Wouldn't Matt Riddle want to get a little revenge? And I'm not complaining. Not this past edition of the sit-down, the one before where we did the triple show with Backlash and everything the same night. One thing that we all talked about that we want to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Imperium, and we want to see Gunther versus Matt Riddle. I don't know if Matt Riddle will dethrone Gunther of the championship, but I think sooner than later, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to lose a set of those tag titles. Going to be really interesting, because what happens? Now look, I think it's pretty obvious which set of the tag team championships they will lose first. They have to lose the SmackDown tag titles first. We talked about it yesterday briefly. You know, they're Raw wrestlers. It would make no sense for them to lose the Raw tag team titles first, and then they have possession of only the SmackDown tag titles. We don't want another Rhea Ripley situation. It is so awful that WWE has not addressed why Bianca is defending the Raw Women's Championship on SmackDown, where she can't face Raw wrestlers, and Rhea's on Raw, and she can't face SmackDown wrestlers. What are you going to do, beat up a free agent? Or are they going to lose to a free agent? Is that how you fix the problem? To me, it's ass backwards right now. You don't want the same thing for Matt Riddle. Excuse me, for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It would be absolutely stupid. But, you know, Imperium, don't forget, 2 weeks ago, they lost to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So Gunther didn't debut on the Raw roster yet. So we're supposed to kind of forget about it. But, yeah, I didn't forget about it. So now Imperium, they attacked Matt Riddle. So Bronson Reed takes advantage and eliminates Matt Riddle. So now it comes down to Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, Bronson Reed. They both try to eliminate Bronson Reed. Don't get it done. But Ricochet gets the upper hand, and you got to pay attention to Mustafa Ali as this is going down. Ricochet is hitting Bronson Reed with a couple of shots. Bronson Reed is outside the ring on the apron. So Ricochet decides he's going to climb the top rope. And unfortunately, before he could land a move on Bronson Reed catches him, grabs him, holds him. So now that allows Mustafa Ali to climb the opposite top rope, and he just dives and drop kicks Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed falls off the ring with Ricochet in arms. They both get eliminated. Mustafa Ali goes on to Night of Champions to take on Gunther. Later on in the back, Mustafa Ali, a little too excited, bumps into Imperium. Gunther shakes his hand, you know, may the best man win. And Mustafa Ali, you know, is like a little too confident. And it was kind of funny if you watch back the segment. Mustafa Ali is like, you know, I'm sorry for you. You have to travel all these miles just to lose the championship to me. And Gunther's got this smile on his face like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm going to chop your fucking flat chest into oblivion. He had this smile and laugh on his face like, okay. Okay, whatever you say there, Chief. So Mustafa Ali advances. He will go to Night of Champions to take on Gunther. Becky Lynch, as we said earlier, she hits the ring. I like Becky Lynch. I think her promos are okay. Tonight's confused me a little bit. Becky Lynch sounded like she was doing a PSA for mental health in the beginning. I'm not cracking jokes about mental health. But if you go back and you watch it again, you know, there's some times where you have to admit that you have to take a step back. And it sounded like someone who had a mental health crisis. Next thing I know, she's like, that's why I turned to Lita. That's why I turned to the Stratus. And I sound like Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of like a weird segue. But anyway, she says that she should have noticed that Trish was the snake that she was. And, you know, thank you, Trish. Thank you for attacking me from behind because you lit up the light bulb that's been out for the last few months. And at Night of Champions, I'm going to kick your ass. So next week we have the contract signing. It's going to be Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch. Inda Sheer beating Drake Thompson and Lucky Ali, two indie guys from the North Carolina area. We didn't know who their names were early. I want to thank Matt for sending them to me via email. I looked at them and I said, one of them looks like a Trick Williams ripoff, and the other one looks like Zach Gowen with two legs. So I called them Slick Williams and Zach Two Legs. He sounded like a member of the D'Angelo family. Hey, Inda Sheer, they beat the shit out of Zach Two Legs. He looked like Zach Gowen with a pair of legs. By the way, on the show, the history show this week is the anniversary of Zach Gowen's WWE debut when Roddy Piper pulled the leg off by accident. That was a weird segment. You go back and you watch that segment. You know, Roddy Piper, you know, pulls on Zach Gowen's leg and it's the prosthetic. And Roddy Piper's shocked. He's surprised. If you look at Sean O'Hare's reaction, I mean, it was just weird because it was a prosthetic, obviously. Sean O'Hare's looking at Roddy Piper like he just amputated somebody. Sean O'Hare's like, I'm fucking out of here. He got all creeped the fuck out. And he's walking out of the ring and Roddy Piper's like, what'd I do? And Sean O'Hare's like, stay away from me. It's pretty, I don't know, man. It was a little weird. You go back and you watch it. But the guy tonight that Inda Sheer destroyed, he looked like Zach Gowen with two legs. Inda Sheer looked great today. Jinder Mahal talking a little bit of, was it Indian? And, just basically saying that Inda Sheer is going to cause destruction on Raw. They did great. They did great. The funny thing about it is you see how they handled Veer Mahan tonight. And, yeah, back then it was Jeff Hardy and it was others, but I don't know. This had a different vibe tonight. And, yes, it was against two local indie guys from North Carolina that weighed probably $160 wet. But they look good, man. People are already thinking like, hey, give me Inda Sheer versus the Viking Raiders. I don't know about that. I mean, it would be, a whole lot of, meat. But I don't know if I really want to see that, to be honest with you. Hey, Jinder Mahal looks good, man. I mean, do I want to see him only manage right now? I'm a little, torn about that. But then again, Jinder Mahal's not going to get any championships anytime soon. So to have another manager, doing what they do, I'm fine with that. I think a lot of people complain that there's not enough managers in wrestling today. He looked good. I like what Inda Sheer did tonight. Cody Rhodes, as I said earlier, talking about the scorpion and the frog. And, like I said, I don't remember Brock Lesnar calling Cody's win at Backlash cheap, but he basically said, you, sir, are no longer the next big thing, and you're simply in my way. Guys, the destination is still the same. Roman Reigns, that destination is still the same. Right now we're in the scenic route. Yes, WWE seems to be doing this a little bit too much lately. One thing that is good, barring injury or wellness violation, the destination ultimately will be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns Part 2. And this time around, Cody Rhodes should get the win. And we see where it goes from there. It'll also be fascinating because remember, when that happens, Cody Rhodes will probably have to stay on SmackDown. Somebody's going to have to come to Raw. Who it is, I don't know yet. Raquel Rodriguez beats Chelsea Green, as I said earlier. After the match was over, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler laying her out, pretty much issuing the challenge, even though it wasn't mentioned. But I think that match will be made official by next week. I'd be shocked if they don't do that match in Saudi Arabia because Saudi fucking loves Ronda Rousey. You don't bring Ronda Rousey back less than 2 weeks away from Night of Champions just to her to lay someone out on Raw and then not do anything 2 weeks for the next 2 weeks. So next week, we're going to get Brock and Cody face-to-face. Trish and Becky will have the contract signing. Even though they didn't mention it at the end of the night, we should get Candice LeRae and Zoe Stark. And then Imperium, all three members are going to be taking on Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and a mystery partner, which will probably be Matt Riddle. And then your main event tonight. Your main event was the Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest defeating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Non-title. Paul Heyman was there. Paul Heyman, you know, talking to Judgment Day early in the night. If you watch when Becky came out for her talking segment, in the far background was Judgment Day talking to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman shaking hands with Gunther, making a deal with him, you know, pretending that he's talking to Roman Reigns to let Roman Reigns know that Gunther and Imperium are going to, you know, help out tonight. And they did. They did. During this tag team match, Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, they come down to ringside. Finn Balor calls for them. They get involved a little bit, so the referee ejects them. Over dramatic, you're out of here, and Finn Balor's all pissed off, and Paul Heyman is standing on the rampway. He's just watching, he's watching. Meanwhile, you're looking at the clock, it's 10:55, 10:56, 10:57, and then out of nowhere, here comes Imperium. They show up. Both members, Vinci and Kaiser, enter the ring twice, referee distracted. Finally, towards the end of the match where Sami Zayn was getting the upper hand on Finn Balor, Blue Thunderbomb was setting up for the Luva kick. Here comes Gunther holding Sami Zayn's leg. Now, when Dominic was walking back up the rampway, here comes Xavier Woods out of nowhere, and he starts brawling with Dominic again. So that's why, you know, people are like, okay, they're going to continue Dominic and Xavier Woods because they got no one else, I guess, right now to feud with Dominic. But they end up getting out of Dodge. Rhea Ripley, I don't know if she's going to have a match at Night of Champions. I think if she does, it'll be obviously against Natalya. They had a little bit of a segment tonight. Natalya telling Rhea Ripley that I have nothing but respect for you. You should show respect for the women on this roster as well. And Rhea Ripley's like, look, you know, if you ever interfere what I do in a ring again, not only am I not going to help boost you back up, not going to boost your career, I'm going to end it. So they're probably going to end. So we may have three women's matches, four at Night of Champions. That sounds like an awful lot. Bianca and Asuka, women's tag team championships is a very strong possibility. And then you got possibly Rhea Ripley and Natty. I mean, that's three. So, yeah, we might get three women's matches at Night of Champions. It is definitely possible. The only problem with the singular women's matches is I don't know if anybody really thinks that Asuka is going to beat Bianca Belair this soon. Could happen. Could happen. But again, Sami Zayn gets held by Gunther, and this allows Finn Balor to get the upper hand. He pins Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens, you know, hits a stunner early on, and he was doing a lot of offense towards the latter part of the match because we had a point where Sami Zayn was just laid out. He was laid out for so long, I think some people started thinking it was a one-on-one match. And Finn Balor was just at ringside watching. But the tag team champions lose. And, you know, this sets up the six-man for next week. And then after that, it's Night of Champions. And then this Friday on SmackDown. Remember, this Friday on SmackDown, you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They are going to have a face-to-face with Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. By the way, for those that are interested, they're going to tape. They do this every year with Saudi Arabia. They tape the following week SmackDown in advance because they're not going to have SmackDown live in Saudi Arabia. They want everybody there safe. It's a long travel, so they're not going to travel, do SmackDown, and then hop on a red eye and go to Saudi Arabia a couple hours later. So SmackDown will be taped this Friday for next week as well. But this Friday, AJ Styles will be on the Grayson Waller effect. Pretty Deadly versus the Brawling Brutes. Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio versus the Usos. Roman and Solo, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, a little face-to-face. And let me clear this up. This is not a major story. It's pretty much nothing. LA Knight and Rick Boogs are going to take on the Street Profits. Why this turned into the buzz that it did makes no sense to me. This was a backstage confrontation that was put on social media where LA Knight bumped into the Street Profits, said, "I could beat you with anybody." And here's Rick Boogs in the background. He's like, "Yeah, him. I could beat you with Rick Boogs." People are trying to portray it like LA Knight and Rick Boogs are going to be an established tag team going forward. And what the fuck are they doing with LA Knight? Take a chill. This is to set up a future storyline. People are blowing it out of this weird proportion. It was a fucking backstage segment to set up a tag team match on SmackDown. That's all it was. They ain't no, you know, what do you, Knight Boogs? Boogs? It's not going to be a regular tag team. There's nothing to even insinuate that, other than maybe just people with self-induced drama. And speaking of self-induced drama, let's get a couple of things out of the way. I want to get into two things that I want to clear up right now. Three, actually. First off, all this buzz, you know what pisses me off about it? A lot of news story, not a news sites tonight. You go on those sites, start taking note of the ones who posted this story like after 12 noon today. Because the ones that posted it after 12 noon, they don't give a shit about knowing the truth. They posted the story anyway, knowing the truth, but decided to post it anyway just to get hits. Somebody posted online that Bray Wyatt was no longer listed on the internal WWE roster. And that caused a lot of disarray online because of like, oh my God, what happened? Are they going to release Bray Wyatt? What the fuck? Yo, what a disaster. This and that. Anybody that's injured, whether it's a mental, physical illness, COVID, broken bones, whatever it is, when you are on the injured list for an extended period of time, you are not on the active roster. That's why Bray Wyatt was not listed. Period. So that was cleared up by Fightful today. And that was cleared up by around lunchtime. Yet I saw all these places still running this news story later on in the day. It is a non-story, everyone. Bray Wyatt is still injured. That's why he's not on the active list. It is not a news story. People that are portraying it as a news story are just trying to get you to click on their shit. Let's kill the second thing out there. You might have come across this, and I'm going to show you the screenshot so you know the deal. A lot of places were running with this today. Don't worry if you can't read it on the screen. I'm going to zoom in a second. This is page 99 of a 500-plus page SEC filing that Endeavor filed last week about the merger and acquisition with WWE. Page 99. Embedded in this 550-page report was a sentence. People thought they had a major emotional news story. So now I'm going to zoom it in for everybody. I highlighted the part that people were reporting as major news today. In the SEC filing, and I'll read it to you word for word, it says on March 23rd, 2023, Endeavor provided a revised term sheet to Paul Weiss and Caney, the attorneys. It proposed that Mr. McMahon serve as the executive chair of the combined company until his death, resignation, or incapacity. Okay. People are like, wow, Endeavor put Vince in place that he is there until he dies, resigns, or is incapacitated. And people were turning this into a major news story today. My friends, for those on video, pay attention to your screen. For those on audio, no worries. I'm going to give you the website address. You could see this live and in person. Now, once again, the line was, Mr. McMahon serves as the executive chair until his death, resignation, or incapacity. Okay. There are many websites out there you could choose from, but I will give you the easiest one. It is www.lawinsider.com. And if you go in there, you could see examples of contracts, SEC filings, and how you would label the position of an executive chair. And I highlighted this for you as well. This is straight from lawinsider.com's website. This is an example of how you would label an executive chair in your own SEC filing for any corporation out there. Tell me if this sounds familiar. So-and-so, I say so-and-so because you could fill in any name you want, shall serve as the executive chair of the board until the earliest of his death, resignation, or incapacitation. That is a standard clause that you put in a contract when you assign someone as an executive chairman. This is not a news story, everyone. These are people out there that don't even have a job working for Taco Bell. These are people out there that just want to depend on your ad revenue or Patreon or hits or whatever it is. People that were reporting this earlier were told that's not news. Anybody who is assigned as an executive chairman for a corporation, that is the clause. They're there until they die, they're incapacitated, or they resign. There was nothing special. People were writing that, oh, they put this clause in there that Mr. McMahon would only agree if it... What the fuck are they talking about? Please. Go start selling Amway, sell vacuum cleaners, deliver papers, because you ain't a good fucking journalist. You don't do no research, and that calls out to anybody. And the people that know the truth and still report it, like Wrestling News Co., those assholes and a lot of other, they know the truth and still posted it tonight, 7 o'clock at night. Mr. McMahon, insist on this. Now we got to get into item number three. Item number three. Okay, this one's a big one. How many of you out there saw this big wrestling news story trending today that Fox announced their fall lineup for 2023 and WWE was not included? If you do a Google search, the only places that were reporting that tonight are third low rent wrestling sites. No entertainment sites reported that. Why? I'll give you three reasons. Fox was in New York today, revealing some of their fall programming. Sports were not included. Anything involving sports were not included. These journalists, aspiring journalists and podcasts, no, sports was not included. Second thing, WWE and Fox are still negotiating a new TV deal. You do not announce anything until the deal is made. Now I'm going to show you a screenshot. Let's go to Variety. My friends, it is the first fucking sentence of the news story. Fox defers again. This is live. See my mouse? Fox defers again on announcing full schedule ahead of 2023. For the second year in a row, Fox is not releasing a full schedule ahead of its upfront presentation. If you scroll down, they even admit that more shows and more lineups will be revealed in the future. Variety and all of the news outlets out there are reporting and telling you that Fox did not reveal their full schedule. This is the second year in a row that they have done that. And that's why WWE was not included. It is not a story, everyone. These are people trying to create drama for you to click on their shit. The Vince, that, and the other story, Bray Wyatt, all bullshit. So every time you see someone running with it anyway, know deep down inside, they know the truth and are still posting bullshit. So shout out to Casey is Raw. Happy 16-month anniversary being a channel member. Thank you very much, my friend. Much appreciated. Shout out to everybody who's a channel member. Patreon tomorrow night. I will be on next Tuesday. Kevin and I will be on together. We'll do the predictions. Will be available for everybody online. Following week, if some people make some offers that we can't refuse, maybe we'll do a recap as well. So, and again, I'll let everybody know as far as the channel going forth in the future. Like I said, what I said in the last two shows, I knew not everybody was going to be happy about it, but, you know, there's got to be a balance here, you know. So once I get an update, I'll let you know. All right, a couple other things, and we'll get a jet out of here tonight. First of all, we got some ratings. We got some previews. We got the announcement Wednesday for AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery. I will give you a friendly reminder of what not will be revealed. And you know what? I'm going to pull this back on the screen to show you. Let me just mention this quickly. You see this article that Variety posted about Fox, and you know they just mentioned their programming. If you look, you see like 911, The Resident. They also bring up other shows over here, Family Guy. Take note of something, because this is something you got to keep in the back of your mind when it comes to Wednesday with AEW's announcement with Warner Brothers Discovery. You see all of these deals that Fox is bringing back, or they're extending deals and doing. Do you see anywhere in here where any contracts or millions or billions were revealed or anything? Do you see anything? Like I said over the weekend, and I want you to just keep this in the back of your mind, all right? They're not signing an NBA player. They're not signing a baseball star where they're inking him for 5 years at $400 million a year or $200 million a year. People are putting these numbers out there like they're announcing the signing of a sports player. If you look at non-wrestling news sites out there, when they talk about these networks signing deals, inking new shows or anything, that's not the way they portray it. So all of these people that are putting all this shit out there, keep in mind that once the announcement is made Wednesday, you understand how it is going to be framed, how it's going to be presented. The way people are portraying it online, these are people who are emotionally attached to AEW, and that's fine. Just understand who you're dealing with when they're putting this out there. Like they think, oh, yeah, Warner Brothers agrees to AEW for 5 years for Collision at $210 million a year. You know, just be prepared. That's all I'm going to say. All right, ratings for this week. Ratings. We'll get into some quick numbers. Not everything is in. I don't know why Stone Cold Takes America, where he takes on America. I don't know why that rating did not come in from yesterday. Usually it comes in the next day, but last week they did 339. So I should have that rating in the next day or two. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,149,000. That is up from the previous week's 2,059,000. So Roman Reigns attracted about another 100,000 viewers. Very good number under the, you know, obviously, you know, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. They still did over 2.1 million. Rampage, they aired on Saturday, so there's no rating yet. Last week, they did 294. Impact Wrestling this past Thursday, we talked about it over the weekend. The Trinity, first 2 weeks of Trinity on Impact have generated awful numbers. And I say awful because it created no bump. In fact, Trinity's debut was a lower rating than her second week on TV. This past Thursday impacted 115,000 viewers. That is up from previous week's 107. New Japan this week did 47,000 viewers. That is up from the previous week's 43,000. Dynamite was very consistent this week. You know what's interesting about this week's Dynamite? First quarter, which is usually the lead-in of the Big Bang Theory, it came close to being the lowest rated quarter of the whole night. Usually it's the highest. That was very, very interesting. But Dynamite this week did 877,000 viewers. That is up from the previous week's 776,000. The high point of the night was the cage match. John Moxley versus Kenny Omega. That did 937,000 viewers. Now, I say it was consistent because the low part of the night is not as low as you would think. Because remember, it was only a week or two ago that they were doing sixes for some quarters. The low quarter for Wednesday, and this might surprise some people, did 842,000 viewers. You know which match it was? The House of Black versus Best Friends and Bandido. So what does that say? I don't think it really says much about the House of Black. I think it just says people just, you know, don't give a shit. People probably assumed it was a squash. You know, Bandido, Best Friends, you know, honestly, you know, I if it was up to me, I would miss that match. So 877 is a very good number, a very good number, especially under the circumstances. AEW All Access did 336,000 viewers this week. That is up from the previous week's 299, which makes sense because you had a nice boost for this week in Dynamite. Some people stuck around to watch All Access as well. NXT had a nice bump this week, did 601,000 viewers. That is up from the previous week's 568. MLW, no rating. They're off reels for the time being. And Raw this past Monday, very, very interesting. Raw, I don't know if people noticed it. Four of the last 5 weeks, their numbers have been almost identical. They have been right around 1,780,000 viewers, 1,780. There were 2 weeks in a row they scored the same number. Last week, they scored 1,778. Excuse me, the week before. 1 week ago, they scored 1,785. So 4 of the last 5 weeks, Raw is right around 1,780,000 viewers. Really, really interesting. I mean, I do not remember recently a time where Raw, in 4 of 5 weeks, the numbers are almost identical. No boosts, no steep declines. Very, very consistent. Very consistent numbers. So NXT this week, it should be a good one. I mean, they have some interesting matches lined up. This match is one I want to see. Wesley and Tyler Bate will be taking on William Regal's kid, Charlie Dempsey and Drew Gulak. The Creed brothers will be taking on the Dyad. Also, the women's championship tournament continues. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Roxanne Perez versus JC Jane and Cora Jade versus Fallon Henley. And if you've been monitoring my predictions, we got the first two matches right. I think we're going to have the next two matches right. I think we're going to run the table with these predictions for this tournament. So that is something to look forward to tomorrow. Dynamite Wednesday, an interesting show. Obviously, we could have the announcement with the TV deal. And, you know, again, I want people to realize, and this is not trying to poo-poo on the deal. It's going to be a big night for AEW. Big night. But understand that Warner Brothers Discovery is in Manhattan at Madison Square Garden for their entire, you know, portfolio. It's not just TBS. It's not just TNT. It's all their other cable channels that they have as well. It's all of their TV shows. AEW will have a big announcement there. But it is microscopic in the overall sense. They're going to have loads and loads of announcements about shows and programming and lineups. So, you know, for some reason, there are people that think that AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery are in Manhattan just to announce this deal. You know, this is not Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan, you know, having that deal in New York City, making the announcement that he signed and everything. This is, they're a part of an entire networks filled with announcements. And the announcement is airing on TNT tomorrow, Wednesday, not TBS. During Dynamite, they will repeat it. But the announcement's going to be made on TNT during the day. So, again, take note of it. But Wednesday, we're going to have Chris Jericho versus Roderick Strong, Falls Count Anywhere. So that should set up Adam Cole and Chris Jericho in some capacity at Double or Nothing, whether it's a one-on-one or a mixed tag, some people think could happen. I think the fact that they're giving us Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida versus the Outcast on Dynamite and not Double or Nothing, makes me think we might see a mixed tag at Double or Nothing. We may see Saray and Chris Jericho teaming up to take on Adam Cole and Britt Baker. Not sure yet. Very interesting that they're giving this match on Dynamite, not at Double or Nothing. Ricky Starks taking on Jay White, another match that a lot of people wanted to see at Double or Nothing. And yeah, you're getting to see it for free, but the perception that it would be on a pay-per-view makes you think that they would have been given 15, 20 minutes and going balls out. You know, when something is prepared for pay-per-view, you always feel like they're going to amp it up even bigger than just regular TV. We're getting it on regular TV. Maybe we'll get lucky and it'll be a clusterfuck early finish, and then it leads to a match at the pay-per-view, because I personally think Ricky Starks and Jay White should be fighting a Double or Nothing. Jungle Boy Jack Perry versus Roosh. Don Callis will be talking. Sammy Guevara is going to have a squash. And we'll have a couple of more announcements for Double or Nothing. So, with that said, you know, we opened up with it, and I definitely want to close with it. Everybody tonight, and listen, part of what I say might sound cold. Now, I'm going to preface it with a screenshot. Something live right now. I went on Wayback Machine. My friends, this is my website 20 years ago. That was my website 20 years ago, May 23rd, 2003. If you look at the top of my website, one of the two wrestlers that I had on display was Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar Billy Graham was one of my favorites. Superstar Billy Graham, I'm not going to give a retrospect on his career right now. By the way, look, Tombstone Radio. That is a screenshot of my radio station I used to have back then. For some reason, the player still works. It's still live. That is my 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days a year wrestling music radio station I had 20 years ago. So, yeah, see, we were promoting. Oh, yeah, this is the show, XPW, where they canceled my Maven Invaders. Anyway, the reason why I'm showing this is just to show you a reason, you know, just an example that I was a huge, huge fan of Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar Billy Graham is on life support. He is in grave condition, and he's not expected to survive. The doctors in the hospital recommended to his wife they take him off life support. It's going to get to the point now where he's going to be brain dead. Listen, you love someone, you don't ever want to let them go. Whether it's a mother, a father, a kid, close friend, husband, wife, you know, partner. So, you know, that emotional tie, I mean, he was her world, she was his world. But unfortunately, Superstar Billy Graham has had so many health issues, you know, from the hip, congestive heart failure, infections, loss of hearing, diabetes. It just goes on and on and on. He has lost, this is not an exaggeration, some wrestlers have come to see him. He has lost over 40 pounds in the last month. Superstar Billy Graham is very, very weak. He is on life support. And anybody who has gone through that knows, you know, she thinks he's been strong his entire life and he could pull through this. If anybody could pull through it, it's him and this and that. And unfortunately, though, you know, Mother Nature, Father Time, you know, we're all mortal. We're all going to go. And there is no, you know, miracle out there. It's just not wanting to say goodbye. Plus, you know, I brought this up before, especially on Patreon, when we have some serious combos. And by the way, this Sunday, the sit-down episode is going to be a different episode. We're going to have a non-wrestling show. We're going to talk about everything but a lot of life stuff, a lot of social issues, whatever you guys live want to get into. We're going to talk about it. Nothing is off the table. You know, somebody even said last night, you get to talk about the Bud Light? Yeah, I'll talk about whatever. But I brought this up in the past. My aunt, one of the things to this day, I'm going to give you two different extremes. I'm going to get into a relative and a pet. My aunt, to this day, she took my, you know, her mother, my great aunt, off life support. This is probably like 5-6 years ago. I wasn't there when it happened, but my great aunt was unconscious, you know, on life support, grave condition. Family did not want to take her off life support. My aunt decided to take her off. When she took her on life support, she said that my great aunt jumped out of bed, like jumped up, and she was looking around and she was smiling and everything. And then she died a few moments later. My aunt to this day is devastated, thinking that if she didn't take her off life support, she might have gotten better. She thinks that, you know, when she got up, that just, to me, it was probably more of a nerve reaction than anything else. But my aunt to this day is convinced she shouldn't have taken her off life support. I've gotten pretty serious about this in the past. My father, in my lifetime, I've only seen my father cry 3 times. One was when my mom was pronounced dead 5 years ago when she had the heart surgery. Thank God she was resuscitated and she's still with us. Thank God. Loved my mother to death. Saw my father crying in a hospital. Another time I don't want to talk about, but third time that I saw him crying was right before Hurricane Sandy. He had a miniature Doberman that was very, very sick, and he got so weak that he would just go to the bathroom all over himself. He just didn't have the strength to even stand up anymore. My dog went through something very similar. My father had to put him down. My father was injecting him with pain medication. That was prescribed, but when he would just inject his dog with pain medication, the dog would move around just fine, everything. And my father put him to sleep because it was just way beyond, you know, what you could do. And I remember the day after going to see my parents, and my father was sitting in his yard in the corner by himself, and he was just like staring into space. And I walked up to him like, "Dad, what are you doing?" He started bawling because he was convinced that he shouldn't have put his dog to sleep. He honestly thought that he could have taken him to another specialist. They could have maybe given him therapy. He wanted to get one of those carts that you put on a dog's hind legs that have like really bad, you know, like arthritis. He's like, "I have the whole yard. The dog could have..." My father, you know, he's gotten over it to an extent. But the point is my father for a very long time felt that he shouldn't have put the dog down. Me, I still am haunted. I've come to terms with myself that what I did for my dog was the right decision. Even though I'm still tormented in my dreams, still many times when I'm not going to break down tonight. I mean, I've learned to talk about it. My point is this. Superstar Billy Graham's wife, she doesn't want to say goodbye. And I know that may sound selfish, but she's going to have to. And he's in a condition now where it is not reversible. So I'm letting everybody know, because no matter what, there's nothing that's going to be able to save him. It's just going to prolong the inevitable. So if anyone out there wants to say a little, you know, prayer, if you're into that, keep, you know, have family in your thoughts, because this time next week, we're probably going to be paying tribute, because I can't see how he will, you know, survive another week. It's sad. I will say one other thing. And this kind of like what I was going to say earlier. I said, you know, this might come off as cold. You know, he's got a GoFundMe set up. If you go to that GoFundMe, I think the largest donation is like $200. Not a lot of people in the world of pro wrestling has donated for Superstar Billy Graham and medical bills and everything else. I know what some people are going to say. Well, maybe they feel like, you know, he's going to pass away anyway. So, you know, what's the sense of, you know, given that money, you know, he's going to die anyway. I get it. But understand, especially for those out there that are much younger. By the way, thank you, Eric Williams, for the $2 super chat. Thank you. Can we get more grandmother wrestling stories? You can talk about my grandmother on Sunday. Sure. Tonight, we're wrapping it up, though. But, yeah, we could talk about her on Sunday. Sure. You know, I'll think. In fact, that gives me a couple of days to think about some good shit. Some good shit. But with superstar Billy Graham, for those that are younger, that may have never, you know, look, not many people have gotten to see him live. I became a fan in 79. So my only experience of superstar Billy Graham, you know, live and in person was when he came back as the Karate Guy, feuding with Bob Backlund. When he had the hip problems and he turned babyface and was just blown up with steroids and with Morocco and Hogan, I really, you know, that was, you know, now we were talking like mid, late 80s where I really didn't, you know, I wasn't as obsessed like I was before. But in the decade since, he has burned a lot of bridges. He's burned bridges with WWE. He has, I believe, sold his Hall of Fame ring. If anybody remembers when Kev and I, back in the day, covered him talking to Hannibal, calling Chris Jericho the devil. Chris Jericho, you are the devil. He burned a boatload of bridges over the years. He disowned WWE, and then he, you know, worked things out with Vince and got a Legends deal and then burned bridges again. So, you know, for anyone out there that might see a lack of tribute, you know, some people in the world of pro wrestling are going to pay their respects, but you're going to see some noticeable names either being very generic about it. You know, we send our thoughts and prayers to the family, and, you know, but you're going to see some names definitely absent, not only in donations, but in tributes and everything else. So understand that, you know, it's still tragic and it's sad. We're all going to go at some point. So at some point, you know, it's his time to go. And it sucks, you know, that it's going to happen under these circumstances. But if you are left wondering why some people are very silent or very generic about, you know, his, you know, what's going on with him and what is on the horizon, you know, you have an idea. I'm just telling you now. So, listen, still one of the, would you call him one of the greatest? I would say definitely way ahead of his time. I mean, when he was cutting his Muhammad Ali type promos, I'm the man of the hour, sweet, too good to be sour, man of the hour. You know, he was doing Muhammad Ali. And then Hulk Hogan picked up on superstar Billy Graham. I always felt Scott Steiner absolutely based a lot of his shit on superstar Billy Graham. But superstar Billy Graham, you know, one thing I will always remember about him is that, you know, when I watched videos of him in 77, feuding with Dusty, 78, feuding with Backlund, feuding with Bruno, Ivan Putski is another legendary feud. He got cheered big time. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the entire building, but he got cheered more than you expected. And superstar Billy Graham, you know, at that time, that was not something you would normally see. A heel, clear-cut heel, getting cheered as much as he did. So that's something that I always took notice back in the day. But, yeah, I see people writing stuff. Yeah, he felt Adam Cole should take steroids and get bigger and this and that. I mean, I think he might have said that about, I don't know if it was Ricochet or Kofi. I think it was Kofi Kingston I said it about, too. Like I said, you know, we could go on for hours about negative things about him. But, you know, right now, though, you know, it's sad to see someone go out like that. You know, that's why, for me, you know, I looked through a lot of pictures trying to figure out which one I wanted to show. And that's the one I wanted to show tonight. So my thoughts are with his family. You know, hopefully, you know, he's got enough morphine and he's not in pain. You know, hopefully he's resting. And, you know, when it's time, you know, for the people upstairs to call him, hey, you know, we need you to do a run-in, you know, then we'll pay our respects. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love as always. I want to thank you for joining me. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there, and let me tell you something, right after the show's over, under all the episodes, you know, there is a download link for the audio version of these shows. The audio side of everything is very, very critical as far as the shows remaining, you know, and it still represents about 85% of everybody who tunes into everything. So, you know, the reason why some video stuff is being changed is because of the workload. Right now, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, there's going to be some changes coming. You know, I've already gotten some pretty nasty messages. Hey, you know, I wasn't going to please everyone, but, you know, if you like the audio versions, you know, click that download link. Download the audio shows because that actually is the lifeline as far as keeping these going. Because I am not putting myself thousands of dollars of debt anymore just to do this stuff for you know, to, I don't want to say for free, but, you know, if you notice, I don't load it up with 100 commercials and affiliate links up the yin-yang and, you know, pushing, like, steaks and Blue Chew and all this other stuff. But still, at the end of the day, you know, if people don't want to support the shows in some capacity, then, you know, changes have to be made, and changes are starting sometime in June. So what those changes will be, I don't know yet. We're contemplating a whole bunch of things, but I will definitely keep everybody informed. One thing I will tell you is that DonTony.com is the only place that's not changing, because that is the lifeblood for everything going on here. But, you know, that phrase yesterday, you snooze, you lose. You know, some people got really angry at that, but hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm not staying up till 3, 4, 5 in the morning anymore just so, you know, people could tune into other people's shows live and then tune into my stuff at leisure. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, it is going to be some changes mixed in with it. So we'll see. We'll see. Right now, we don't have to worry about it. So much love, everybody. I will catch you either on Patreon tomorrow, patreon.com/DonTony. Wednesday, I think it's probably going to be pre-recorded again. I will tell you that if we go the members route that I said, I'll probably be bringing video back to Wednesdays, but, you know, like I said, once I make the announcement, I'm not changing it. So I don't want to make an announcement and then start changing shit a week later. I don't want to lead anybody on. So we'll see what happens, but, you all be well, and I'll catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.